Okay,
there, Quan. Okay, I wanted to share with you a thought or two pre-Bein HaZmanim and kind of get us ready in a Pesach mode and a vacation mode. It's been a very, very, very great Zman. Great Zman, really great Zman. I don't know about you, but I am very much looking forward to a little break. Very much, I imagine you are as well. Well-deserved break, and just kind of share with you a thought or two on Inyanei Pesach that really I think is a message for us as we proceed into what frankly is a potentially relaxing time where we can kind of rejuvenate, recharge our batteries, but it is also potentially a very dangerous time as I'll address with you in a moment. We're confronted when it comes to Pesach. The Rambam calls his Hilchos Pesach. How does he refer to Hilchos Pesach in the Rambam? Rebbe? Hilchos Chametzumatz. Hilchos Chametzumatz. And when the Chumash refers to Chag HaPesach, how does the Chumash refer to these days? Chag HaMatz. And the overarching theme, the dominant theme, yes, there's certainly Maror. And there's the Seder, and there's Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there's an Isser Malacha. There's a lot of things. But the overarching theme that dominates every single Jewish household from Motzei Purim through the end of Pesach is refraining from Chametz and Achilas Matzah. It's called Chag HaMatzos. The Rambam says Hilchos Chametz Matzah. And again, ask the wives, but they are preoccupied with elimination of chametz, and on Pesach, it'll be all matzah. And when you think about these two ideas, matzah and chametz, what you'll find is matzah and chametz are very much two sides of the exact same coin. Both in terms of the cheftza, as I'll describe, the object of chametz and matzah are really the same exact thing. After all, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Pesachim Daf Lamed Hey that if you want to be Yotzei Matzah, what are the substances that can qualify for valid matzah? Only something that is boli de chimutz. It has to have potential to become chametz. If it has potential for chametz, only then can it be matzah. So for example, can rice flour become chametz?
No.
No. Can rice matzah be used for the mitzvah matzah?
No.
The answer is no. Why? Because endowed in matzah is?
It has to become chametz.
It has to have the capacity, potential for chametz. That's very, very clear from the Gemara. If it's bali de chimutz, then it can be matzah. The flip side is true as well. To be chayef for achilas chametz, to be chayef koretz, the only time you're going to be chayef koretz for eating chametz is if it's made out of something that could be the potential of, that has within it the capacity for matzah. So for example, you eat something that is made in a way, that's made with what the Gemara calls dochen. Something that does not have the ability to become matzah, so therefore if you eat it, it's chametz. It's called chametz, but you're not going to be chayef kares for that chametz. In other words, true chametz has to have capacity for matzah. And true matzah has to have that ability to become chametz. What is matzah made out of?
Flour.
What kind of flour? Five chamesh minei dagam plus water. And of course, that's what matzah is and what's chametz. Is the same chamesh minei dagam with water. Same exact thing. Two sides of the same coin. That's when it comes to the object itself. When it comes to those who are chayiv in matzah, the stunning Gemara. The Gemara tells us, are women chayavos in achilas matzah?
Yes.
The answer is, logically, the Gemara says they should not be. After all, matzah is a mitzvah saseh. Shehazman grama, women should not be chayavos in matzah. Yet, the Gemara says they certainly are chayiv in matzah. Why? What's the logic? Incorrect. Good effort, but incorrect. What? Of what? Yes. Kol sheyeshno bebal tochal chametz, yeshno bekumecho matzah. You cannot have half a Pesach. If there's an Isser of chametz, which women certainly have, that's a lotaseh, if they have the Isser of chametz, then they must have the mitzvah of matzah, because as I mentioned, you can't have chametz without matzah, you can't have matzah without chametz. The two are really alter egos, mirror images, one of the other. But that's the case, gentlemen. So then what exactly is the difference between chametz and matzah? Flour and water, the same substance. What then is the difference between chametz and matzah? Mr. Bricks, redemption time.
The rising time.
The rising time. Spell it out.
Substance inside.
The what?
The air,
what do you mean? What do you mean?
The time it takes to rise.
The time it takes to rise. Okay. Fine. Moshe Louis? Newman?
Time.
What?
Time.
Let me teach you halach. If you go bake matzah, you want to go bake matzah, what's the magical number in matzah making? 18 minutes. Let's say I have flour and I have water. I start to knead it. How much time do I have to make sure that does not elapse in order to produce my matzah? Incorrect. We all think that. That's incorrect. What you really, as long as you're kneading the matzah, you're kneading the dough, you're working the dough, as long as the dough is being worked, you could be kneading that dough all day long, and it does not become chametz. When does it become chametz? If you leave it to sit, then for a mere 18 minutes, you leave it to sit, it has capacity to rise. At that point in time, it will become chametz. But as long as it's being worked, as long as it's being kneaded, there is no chimutz that can set in. Now, we are very makpid to get it all done in 18 minutes because we're worried that maybe a little piece of that dough in that batch might not be needed, and therefore careful to go ahead and do everything within 18 minutes. But the din is, as long as you're working the dough, it does not have that ability to become chametz as long as it's being worked. The difference in chametz and matzah is a very simple difference. Is dough that's sitting doing nothing for 18 minutes. Once it's sitting doing nothing for a mere 18 minutes, then it starts to rise. Then it starts to get puffy, and then on Pesach, it becomes totally invalid. It's the same exact object, no different than matzah, except it's sitting doing nothing. And in my mind, this is a great mashal as we approach Ben Azman, because we're at a crossroads right now. All of us have spent the past 5 months since the Sukkot vacation taking that dough that is us and working it and developing it and processing it. And we really, all of us, every single person has, when I say the word grown here, I don't mean in the chametz sense, but I'm talking about has endowed himself with, I would suggest, more kedusha and more tahara than existed 5 months ago, because it's been worked. The dough has been processed, has been worked. And now you find yourself in a period of time, you have about 30 days, give or take. Poland, some people not, but it's a time where you lose the day-to-day structure of yeshiva life. And now you're confronted with that dough that is either going to continue to be churned, continue to be worked, where Rachmana Litzlan is just left to sit. And when it's left to sit, doesn't take very long. But if it's left to sit for even a relatively brief period of time, the chimutz starts to set in. And the kedusha that is represented by matzah starts to lose that and becomes chametz. And as we go ahead, I remember listening this morning as we were at the, many of us were at the Levaya, and I suspect the Hespedim were not fully understood by the Talmidim, but Rav Gantz, who is a Rav in Matisdorf, one of the big Rabbanim in Matisdorf, which is the neighborhood, so he spoke And he made a comment because one of the reasons, every yeshiva in the country, was there today, and every yeshiva in the country within the next 48 hours is going on Ben Hazman. So while he had a very, very captive audience, he gave a schmooze about Ben Hazman. And he talked about Ben Hazmanim as a precarious time. A time where people go on Tehillim and they go to this place, that place, and that's all fine. But to always cognize and be aware, what kind of place am I going to? What environment am I in to preserve and to continue working that which has been accomplished? Be aware that if you just sit around and leave it to be, do nothing, it can have a very, very deleterious effect. Relaxation certainly has a place and is very, very necessary, important, critical. So go ahead and relax. We need it. We need to rejuvenate. We need to rest and we need to recharge. But the same exact time that you can be doing all those things, a person also has capacity to degenerate, to debilitate, to deteriorate, and Rahman al-Islam, to dissipate everything that has been accomplished. Does that mean, as the Chazon Ish suggested to his Talmidim, take it easy on Ben Hazmanim? They asked him, should you learn the same amount that you do during the Zman? He said, no, definitely you should cut down. He said, how much? He says, you should limit it to 10 hours a day. That was what the Chazon Ish told his students. I'm not suggesting that at all. Not at all. Maybe during the Zman, we should be learning 10 hours a day. But to go ahead and build your day during Ben Hazmanim around what I call critical axes, that your day 100% should have minyanim three times. Three times minyanim. That should be a critical axis in your day. And I would suggest to you, it doesn't really matter to me how much, but you go to Shacharis, spend 15 minutes while you're in the shul, while you're in the Beis Medrash, before you get back in your car or wherever, go home. Spend 15 minutes learning in the Beis Medrash. When you go ahead from Minchat Maariv at the end of the day, also, I'm not limiting it to 15 minutes, but at least 15 minutes, a Kviyas Itim in the morning, a Kviyas Itim at night. When you're in the Beis Medrash, when you're there anyway, keep yourself connected. Keep the dough at work. Because again, if a person in a month's time, it's a long month, and in a month's time, we might think we're there, we've achieved, we have it all together. I can tell you some real horror stories. Some real horror stories. I had many years ago, a Talmudist yeshiva got very, very into things, seemingly, during the Chorus month. I say seemingly because it turned out it was a lot of externalities. But he decided he wants to be in a very strong summer environment. And he says, I'm going to go to Mora Shakole. And then he decided he's definitely going to come back Shana Bet. Because he said, that's where I need to be. And he also went home for Pesach. And in a brief stay at home for Pesach, he got himself involved with a certain madel. And there seemed to be some kind of transformation that took place when he got back. All of a sudden, Mora Shakola converted into Mora Shawaiter. And all of a sudden, Shana Bet converted into non-Shana Bet, and the whole trajectory of his year just took a very, very different direction. And again, I'm suggesting that build yourself an axis. What's the axis upon which no one's expecting the same type of learning, level of learning, amount of learning, but to make sure that what you have going, what you started, you don't go ahead and allow just to sit and lie fallow, as is so often the case, can be the case. Right now, we're the crossroads. We are that dough that has capacity for chametz, but that also has the capacity for kedusha of matzah. And the difference is a very subtle one. It's a very minute and subtle difference. Is it going to be worked, or is it just going to sit there? And when it sits there, that's what the Bali Musa write, the gaiva sets in, it starts to rise, it starts to get fat, flabby, and loses its rigidity, loses its sharpness. And at that point in time, again, a lot has been lost. Another very valuable lesson that we can learn from matzah. There is a mitzvah aseh that the Torah describes to us, ushmartem es hamatzos. Watch the matzos. Preserve the matzos. And from here, Chazal learned the concept that Leil HaSeder, you have to be yotzei matzah only with what's known as matzah shmurah. The matzah has to be watched to grow right, since every ounce of matzah that you eat, every bite, all 7 or 8 days of mitzvah, so some have the practice to eat matzah shmurah all 7 or 8 days of Pesach, much more expensive, but there's a notion of ushmartem es ha-matzos. It's a mitzvah. And this is not just a negative mitzvah to go ahead and make sure chametz doesn't permeate. It is that, but it's in the mitzvah aseh. It's an affirmative action. I have to take affirmative steps to go ahead and do this shmira, to watch, to guard, to preserve in an affirmative fashion. That's the mitzvah shmartem es ha-matzos. When does this mitzvah kick in? At what point in the development of matzah does shmira, the watching, the care, when does that kick in? There are 3 deos in Rishonim when you have to start the mitzvah shmira. One shita is milisha va'elach. Once you start kneading, in other words, once you take the flour and you add water, from water-flour combination, at that point, you need shmira. That is to say, you have to be careful that you don't have those 18 minutes and that chimutz doesn't set in. The second shita is mishas tchina. When you take the grain and you grind it into flour, once it's ground into flour, at that point in time, you have to watch the flour to make sure that there's no liquid that touches it and thereby enables chimas. That's the second sheet. Does anyone know the third sheet? How we generally try and pastin, yes? Mishas k'tzira va'elach. Absolutely correct. What? K'tzira va'elach. From the time of harvesting. The second you go ahead and cut down the wheat, from that point on, it's not even flour yet. It's just a kernel of wheat in its shmira, lest it come into contact with water and become chametz. What's the pshat in Shas Lisha? What's the pshat that only when it comes to the kneading, that's when you have to start worrying? What's the logic behind that sheet? This is easy. Yeah!
Well, the very beginning you said that chametz...
Too much talking.
Is flour...
What's the logic?
It's not flour until then.
It's flour. It's not what?
It's not flour water yet. Until then.
In other words, when do you have to do the shmira?
When there's a time spent.
When you have something that now can become chametz. When you've added the water to the flour, now this heftza inside of it has the ability for chimutz. Now you have to start watching. Now you need vigilance in making sure it doesn't happen. Good? Makes sense. Why would you say mishas tchina when you have flour, which is a step in advance, when you have flour? Mr. Lieber?
Because what if water, like what a drop of water fell on it, so then you wouldn't even notice that, but then it could become chametz. So even if you didn't like already...
Does it have inherent capacity now for chimutz?
No, but it has if you make a mistake.
It has potential for chimutz.
If the water gets in it, it's good.
If water touches, then it could become chametz, and therefore even from that point in time. What about the third sheet? The one we try and follow. Mishas k'tzira va'elach. Can a kernel of wheat, it's not even flour yet, can that become chametz? It doesn't have inherent capacity for chametz. What's the pshat? That mishas k'tzira, once you harvest it, even before you ground it into flour, you need shmira. What's the concept? So b'derech hadrush, I would like to suggest the following. You see, as long as the grain is in the earth, what does it have capacity to do? It grows. It's still in a state of growth. It's still its own inherent processing. It's yonic from its source, and it continues to grow. Once it's severed, it's niktzar, it's severed from karka, so at that point in time, by definition, it's no longer drawing from the earth, it's no longer in a posture of growth. And therefore, it can go in any direction. Yes, it could be blown by the wind in this direction, that direction. Yes, it will be potentially ground into flour, potentially water hits. Its destiny is very open because it's no longer in its growth mode, it's no longer being yonek min hakarka. And again, b'derech masha, when I think of yeshiva boys, as they're embarking on a temporary, at least for some of you, more than temporary, we'll touch on the Shana Bekas in a moment, but leaving the walls of the yeshiva for 5 months, 7 months actually, you've been planted and been yonek from this base medrash, drawing on the strength of the roots that you've established here, that the Rabbeim have been pouring into you, drawing and drawing and drawing. But now for a month's time, there's going to be a ktsira. And whether you stay, you're staying in Israel, or you're going to chutzla, it doesn't really make a difference. But you're no longer going to be in a day-to-day posture and environment of being yonek, of drawing. There's an element of ktsira. And the shita that we hold by says that if it's no longer being yonek, if it's no longer drawing its sustenance, growing directly from karka, so then that's when shmira has to kick in. That's when you have to have that phenomenon of shmartem es hamatzos. There has to be extra vigilance. As long as it's in the ground, you can leave it be. It doesn't require shmira whatsoever because naturally the source of its sustenance is protecting it to continue to grow. It can't just fly with the wind in any which direction. It's grounded in the karka. Once it's severed at that point, it can go in any which direction, and therefore the shmira is so critical. We find ourselves in this very scenario, and a person's shmira, protection, has to come from inside of him. Yes, he can call on his rabbeim, and he can call on his chaverim, but at the end of the day, he has to go ahead and be careful himself. Watch himself. As I said, develop his kviyas itim, his minyanim, and being sensitive to where he's heading, his environment, and making sure that that sense of shmira exists. Because again, 30 days might seem like not such a long time, but when you're in it, you'll see that a person can remove himself hashkafically and physically from the environment of yeshiva. And when he does that, he can just easily reverse 6 months of hard work, perhaps even a year and a half of hard work, year and three quarters of hard work, can very easily be reversed unless he's sensitive and he's cognizant. And my bracha to everyone is that they think before they leave on the vacation, before we move on, whether it's to Poland, whether it's to the United States, or whether it's here just hanging around, to go ahead and think how you can properly exercise a sense of shmira, how you can properly make sure that you don't just, you allow yourself to continue growth, to preserve your growth, ushmartem es hamatzos, because no matter what, we still find ourselves as multiple potential, the potential for the great kedusha of matzah, but at the same time, potential for chimas. Today is the official last day for the Shana Bekas. And first of all, I want to look them all in the eye. Next year. And I really want to, first and foremost, I want to applaud them. Because as I think back to who they were a year and a half ago, and where they've come, how they've grown, the amount of hard work they put in, and therefore the concomitant amount that they have reaped is really incredible, is unbelievable. I look at them and how much they've added to the yeshiva. They've added to the Shana Aleph guys' experience, both as just role models, just to watch and observe, but even more importantly, as people that many Shana Aleph guys speak to, learn from, learn with, is a tremendous thing. And for that, I personally owe them a tremendous sense of Hakaras HaTov. They set an example in the yeshiva, a leadership, and when we send them off, when we send them off to the to back some Shana Gimel, some back to the States, but when we send them off with a tremendous sense of confidence that they did a tremendous, tremendous job and that they will have a tremendous amount of Hatzlacha as they go forward. The beginning of Parshas Vayikra tells us that when Hashem speaks to Moshe, he calls out to him, he speaks to him, and then he doesn't immediately go ahead and tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. There are between Parshios, what Rashi tells, Hafsakos, the Samachs, the Pays, the breaks. There are breaks in the action. Moshe didn't just hear and deliver out, but there are breaks. What did he do? He heard, and he stopped, and he thought, and he considered, and he reflected on that which he heard. And only then, that's the hafsakos, that's the samachs and the peis, and only then did he transmit it further. That's really what Bein HaZmanim is. It's a time to think. Because sometimes you're so busy with the day-to-day learning, the day-to-day schedule, sometimes we need time, a hefsek. We can go ahead and stop and like take stock. Look back, look forward. Where am I now? Where was I 6 months ago? And where am I going to be in 6 months from now? It's a tremendous chance to stop and think. What do I want out of life? What do I want for myself? How have my values changed? Those of you, some of you have kept a diary, tremendous. You can look at your diary and look at how you were. If it's not just a diary, it's just recording your activity, but what you're thinking. Where you were in September, where you are today is a tremendous thing, tremendous value. And to think about where you want to be in the future. The hafsakos are incredibly important in terms of thinking where you want to be. I like to say that in the secular world, when we have vacation, how do we call it? What's the word we use? We call it vacation. In Hebrew, what's the lashon? Chofesh. Unbelievable words. What does vacation mean?
To vacate.
When a person's working hard and he goes on vacation, Bahamas, Puerto Rico, wherever, the goal of the vacation is literally to vacate. To leave the office behind. To leave your physical location, your psychological location, your emotional location, and move yourself somewhere else to vacate and just like chillax. That's what a vacation is. Chofesh. I'm free of the bondages of my work, of the bondages of my day-to-day. And now I am liberated. You'll notice in the yeshiva world, we don't use the word chofesh. We don't use the word vacation. The word we use is Bein Hazman. I don't know who coined that terminology, but it's brilliant. What does Bein Hazman mean?
Between times.
Between times. It doesn't have an affirmative definition in and of itself. It's just the time between the Zman. Meaning, it's not about vacation or vacating. It's not about chofesh. Yes, as I mentioned, it's a time to recharge, relax, regenerate, but not to vacate. We continue to be Ovdei Hashem. We continue to be people with a mission who now have a little time, as I say, to reflect. How many of you are going to be spending some time over the next couple of weeks with your immediate families, parents, and the like? Over half. And how many with non-immediate family? If you raise your hand for the first time, don't raise your hand for the second time. I'm looking for... Okay, so I want to give one bit of advice, especially for those who are going home. Especially for those who are going home, and then we'll call it. You're going to be people are going to be looking at you if you're going home. Some, they're going to be saying, like, "Who, he went to yeshiva?" And like, let's see what he looks like now. Let's see. Did he get frumer? Did he not get frumer? Like, sometimes you're on the... people are looking at you. Be yourself. On both levels. Meaning, you don't have to be... look less frum than you are. And you shouldn't be more frum than you are. Be who you are. Be who you are. But one thing I want to emphasize, especially if you're going home. What parents want to see more than anything else in the world is boys who are not just focused on Bein Adam LaMakom, but are equally focused on Bein Adam LaChaver. And if you're someone who, let's say, hypothetically, before you came to yeshiva, you weren't a minyan goer. And now every morning, you're going to ask mom, "I need the keys, because I got to go to minyan." Or you weren't perhaps a learner, but now all of a sudden you want to take some time every day to learn. So no doubt, your parents will be proud. They'll say, "My money, my tuition money went for good purposes." But be careful also. Because if, while you're working well in your Bein Adam LaMakom, you're not so focused on Bein Adam LaChaver. Mom says, "Do me a favor. Before I give you the keys to go to shul, just take out the garbage." And your response is, "Well, I'm a minute late for shul already. Davening goes a little faster in Chutz Laretz. If I don't get out now, I'm going to go ahead and miss some davening. So, don't worry, Mom, I'll get the garbage later." And you're out the door. And of course, when later comes, what happens? She already took out the garbage. You forgot. All of a sudden... or maybe you're asking, you want to stay Shanabet, maybe. And you're involved in this Shanabet debate, perhaps. And if at the same time that you're pushing one aspect, if the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is there, the Kibud Ava'im is there, the respect for your siblings is there, all of a sudden, parents are going to look at you and say, "You know what? Yeshiva's pretty good. Pretty cool. My son... who in the past I couldn't get out of bed, now wakes up in the morning. My son is now offering, 'Mom, maybe I can go shopping for you a little bit. Mom, I see the dishes in the sink.'" You don't ask if you can wash the dishes. You know what you do? You wash the dishes. You take out the garbage. "Mom, I know you're busy with Pesach cleaning. Maybe I can go ahead and help out in some way or another." All of a sudden, A, your parents are going to love Yeshivat Shai Mevaseret Zion, which is always good. But that's really what it means to be... it's not just about the learning, as you know. It's not just about Bein Adam LaMakom. But if you go ahead and you come back as a Ben Toro who is equally focused in Kibud Ava'im and taking care of his siblings and is a mensch in everything that he does. So to extend that, now you want to... stay Shanabet, or you want to spend time in the Beis Medrash, and maybe they'll look at you in a certain way, like, "That's not the kid I sent. What's going on over here?" All of a sudden, all of those issues that might exist disappear and dissipate. Because when a person comes in as a true Ben Torah, the learning and the midos, the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and the tefillos, the full package, there's nothing more beautiful, nothing that gives nachas more than that package. I want to thank you all for all that you've given me this Zman. It's been I've learned a lot with you and from you, and looking at you, looking around the room, you've given me all a tremendous amount of nachas, and my bracha to you over Bein Hazmanim is it should be a good Bein Hazmanim, a productive Bein Hazmanim, a relaxing Bein Hazmanim, where you achieve the goals that you want and you keep striving in the has that you've already started on as a Ben Torah. You should come back after Pesach with renewed energy, please. Renewed energy, please. We're starting a new Masechet. And my goal for every single boy in this yeshiva, every single one, is come to banquet on June 6th. We're all making a siyum on Maseches Makos. And not just a siyum that we flew through the Gemara, but a siyum with Chazara, where you really have mastery of the Gemara. It's 23 blot. Not overwhelming. It means 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 4 blot a week. You have 3 siddharm a day. Not overwhelming to achieve mastery. There's nothing like, at the end of the year, the yeshiva as one, making a siyum, not just having gone through the pages, but mastering the daf. To me, I'm very, very excited about that. An exciting opportunity. And I wish everyone a chakoshev sameach, a Pesach that we really have a sense of chayrus, true sense of chayrus, of geula, and we should enjoy the break and come back reinvigorated.